People of God, this morning we look together at the word of the Lord in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We'll have a particular focus on the verses that talk about circumcision being the sign and the seal of the righteousness of faith, 13 and 14. But we read together the context. We'll read together verses 1 through 15. People of God, hear the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed a man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision, to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also who walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Well, people of God, much of the book of Romans will continue this theme, but we stop at this point. Romans chapter 4 is the most concise commentary on circumcision found in the Bible. It is one of those rare places where more than, say, three or four verses are devoted to a single topic, but one where a whole chapter is devoted to the topic of the meaning and significance of circumcision. But if you replace the word baptism with the word circumcision, every truth in the passage would remain the same. That is because baptism, and I simply become more and more convinced of this the more I study Scripture, replaces circumcision. It has fundamentally the same meaning. One of the great reasons why many people deny infant baptism is because they say circumcision had a radically different meaning than baptism. They say it meant something like an introduction into the Old Testament community, identifying one as a Israelite. Our text, over and over again, Romans chapter 4, declares that the fundamental meaning of circumcision is that it is a sign and a seal. We see this in the text, correct? We see that that for the it is a declaration that circumcision is a sign and a seal of the righteousness of faith. The word sign and seal in this particular text is where we get our language for sacraments. And so that language is then set before us. And it is this declaration that it is this sign and seal of the righteousness of faith that is then set before us over and over again in the text. And in Romans chapter 4 and throughout, and then righteousness of faith is explained throughout the book of Romans. But it is consistent with the word of God throughout the text, throughout the text. So in verse 11, he received circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of still uncircumcised. So we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the meaning of the seal. We're going to look at the meaning of the righteousness of faith, which is the meaning of circumcision, which is the meaning of baptism. And then, and you may have noticed that in the form of infant baptism. It talked about, there was one place, did you notice that I emphasized that? It says it is a sign of the righteousness of faith. It takes that from Romans 4:11. And so that sign of righteousness of faith. So we will be looking at how circumcision was the Old Testament sign and seal, and that baptism is the New Testament sign and seal. And on circumcision. But circumcision and baptism in the New Testament are linked very closely together. In Colossians chapter 2, 9 through 12, it simply switches from circumcision to baptism, and it interchanges those signs and seals. Colossians 2, 9 through 12 says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in Christ. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality of power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, raised him from the dead." Circumcision, baptism, just flip between the two because the fundamental meanings are the same. And so it brings up both in the same context, which is the way that it just continues throughout the scripture. So what does it mean when it says that circumcision is a sign and seal of the righteousness of faith? Well, the context makes the first part of that abundantly clear. Word righteousness makes the second part abundantly clear. First of all, the context makes it clear that the only way that any of us can claim any kind of righteousness is a righteousness that is given to us because our sin is removed. Wherever there is sin, there is no righteousness. You can't have righteousness and sin connected. So in order for us to be righteous, in order for us to stand righteous before God, in order for us to have a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God, we must have righteousness before God. God cannot be a God of evil or sin. He is a God of a righteous people. So how do we attain this righteousness? Well, I hope Abraham did not attain it through works of the law. He attained it through faith in the promise of forgiveness. So in Romans 4, 1 through 5, it talks about how he believed the promise of forgiveness. And then he says, just as David describes this righteousness that's apart from law, that's rooted in promise, covenant promise. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. David is talking about the forgiveness of sins. Lawless deeds forgiven, verse 7 in Romans 4. Sins are forgiven, another phrase in verse 7. Sin is not imputed, verse 8. This is that fundamental teaching that we teach to our children. Your sins are forgiven because Jesus died on the cross. They're washed away. As Isaiah declared in our call to worship, our sin, though it's we are black with sin, God removes that sin and we are as white as snow, at least fresh snow, right? White as fresh snow. And though they be all the sin, all the impurity is washed away. So it's the forgiveness of sins. 1 John 2, verse 12, simply declares to the children of the congregation, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. This is a glorious promise that we communicate to our children. And you children here, you should know this, don't you? If somebody said, Are you perfect? And do you ever say something to a mom or a dad that's sinful? Are you ever disobedient? Are you ever angry when you shouldn't be? Well, I have a number of grandchildren, and none of them are perfect. And their grandfather's not perfect either. I'm not perfect either. Moms and dads are not perfect. But our sin is forgiven. It is washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And circumcision is a sign and a seal of that washing away of the righteousness of faith. And so that is so clearly connected. But what is the essential reason? Because of the cross. Circumcision is a sign and a seal. But what's it a sign and a seal of? Well, we say the righteousness of faith. But the righteousness of faith is absolutely dependent upon the cross of Christ. And so the most basic meaning of circumcision and baptism, not what it signs and seals, but what it, if we would say, well, what is the reality of circumcision? I would say this. The reality is the cross of Christ. Is the cross of Christ. Circumcision was a sign and seal pointing to and expressing the cross of Christ. Baptism is a sign and seal pointing to and looking at the cross of Christ fundamentally. The cross of Christ then becomes the basis of the forgiveness. In Matthew 20, verse 22, Jesus said this. Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? He uses the word baptism three times. What is he talking about when he says baptized with baptism? The cross. That's the cross. The cross. And in Romans 6, verse 3, as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, because the baptism of Jesus is fundamentally the cross. And circumcision is fundamentally the death of Christ. Just as all blood signs and seals of the Old Testament pointing to Christ were, whether it was the sign and seal of the Passover lamb and the blood slain, or the flow of blood at the moment of circumcision, it all points to the blood of Christ on the cross. It's all about the cross. And that's the circumcision is the death of Christ. Baptism is the death of Christ. And out of that reality, we have a sign and a seal. Circumcision, which focuses on the cutting away of the flesh, the cutting away, the removal of sin through a blood sacrifice. And baptism, which is really, really kind of strange. Now, because you know that the word baptism and circumcision have the exact opposite meanings. Circumcision means to cut off or cut away. Baptism means to unite with and to merge together. You're baptized into Christ. And they both are all about the cross and what it is for us. Opposite meanings in literal verbal meaning, but signing and sealing the same thing. First of all, the death of Christ. Second, what that death brings us, the righteousness of faith. Now, as it brings us that righteousness of faith, as we've seen, it has a particular focus of the removal of sin. But it's more than that. It is absolutely more than that. That's oftentimes where evangelical Christians stop. And it is certainly where Roman Catholicism stops. Roman Catholicism believes that your sins are forgiven because of the blood of Christ. That is a fundamental teaching of Roman Catholicism. But it really messes it up in the next step. It's like this. I don't know if you have whiteboards or probably whiteboards in this church. You ever have whiteboards? You know what those are. If in a Sunday school room you have a whiteboard, it's totally white, and then you take a black marker. It's the best marker to see, at least for old eyes, right? And you make words on that black on that whiteboard. Well, forgiveness is like all the black marks on the whiteboard being erased, and the board is white. But that's not righteousness. That's essential for righteousness, but that's not righteousness. The absence of sin is not righteousness. The presence of perfect obedience is righteousness. That's what the word righteous means. When it talks about the righteousness of faith, it doesn't say the forgiveness of faith. It says the righteousness of faith, which is more than forgiveness. Forgiveness, having no sin, is an essential part of being righteous, but it is not the only part. You need to have perfect obedience. And where does that come from? It comes from the perfect obedience of Christ, obedient unto death on the cross, perfect obedience. And therefore, the word righteous is referred to over and over again in the text, which righteousness implies something positive, not just something negative. The negative being the removal or the subtracting of sin. But the word righteousness implies something positive, the presence of perfect obedience. And it is our God in Christ, to his full obedience to death on the cross, that is the foundation and basis of our perfect obedience. God grants us perfect obedience. The Heidelberg Catechism describes the righteousness and perfect of Christ this way, that God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he looks at me as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient. That's how God looks at us. In Reformed theology, we describe this as double imputation. The imputing of our sin to Christ and the imputing of Christ's righteousness to us. And those aren't just theological terms. Those are terms used over and over in the Bible. And that is what righteousness of faith is. It is justification. Baptism is the sign and seal that we are justified. The word justification, or to justify, in the New Testament, and the word righteous, they're actually the very same word. one a verb, one a noun. Righteous is a verb. We don't have the word righteous or made. Instead of saying justification, you could just as easily say righteousification. Righteousification. It's not a word. I like to make up words, but it's the same thing. To be declared righteous is justification. And they are the same words in the Greek language. That's how closely those things are connected. We ought never to think of them as separate entities. And circumcision is a sign and a seal of that righteousness of faith. Well, wait a minute. It says it's of faith. Of faith. That implies a response. That implies that circumcision is signing and sealing belief in the promise, not just the fact that there is justification, not just the fact that there is the blood of Christ that cleanses and the obedience of Christ that we are clothed with. There's more than that. You believe it. You trust it. You rejoice in it. You love it. You keep it. You treasure that promise that God has given. But then, how is that? Then shouldn't you just baptize adults? Shouldn't you just circumcise adults? Because it's a sign and seal, the circumcision. Circumcision is a sign and seal of the righteousness of faith. No, says God's word. Not at all. Where there are uncircumcised people, the pattern is this: repent, believe, and be circumcised. That is a godly pattern. And where there are unbaptized people who have never been raised in the church, who've never received the sacrament of baptism in a proper way, the pattern is repent, believe, and be baptized. Look at the book of Acts. It's talking about evangelism in the book of Acts. And the pattern is clear. And the pattern for circumcision is clear. Repent, believe, and be circumcised. Who's the prime example of that? Abraham. That's what the text was about. That's where it says, that's why it talked about it. And when did he receive this? How was it accounted? While he was circumcised, verse 10, or uncircumcised? No, it says he received all of the blessings of what circumcision signed and sealed before he ever had circumcision. He believed. He heard the promise of God. He had all kinds of promises, and he believed all kinds of promises, and he believed them. The forgiveness of sins, that he would, that his child would be the one who would save the nations. He believed all the promises that God gave him, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and it was signed and sealed by circumcision. And the pattern for Abraham is repent, believe, and be circumcised. Just like the pattern for evangelizing the lost world is repent, believe, and be baptized. But then God did something that maybe we would not expect for a sign and a seal of a righteousness of faith. He said, apply that to your children. Apply it to your children. Give that sign to your children, to the children of believers, not unbelievers. Of believers, because they are set apart, 1 Corinthians. They are set apart. They are holy to the Lord. They are in this special relationship with God. They are part of the church. They receive the sign and the seal of the righteousness of faith as infants, just as the infants in the Old Testament received the sign and the seal of the righteousness of faith of circumcision, which was a constant call. Believe the promise. You don't remember, I suspect that almost none of us in this room remember when we were baptized. Maybe a few, couple, maybe one, maybe some of you were baptized as an adult because you weren't raised in the church, or even if you were part of a church that didn't hold to the pattern of circumcision and then being called the circumcised or the baptized. Because every one of our children, just as the text here talks about the circumcised as a group, a unique group, the circumcised, we have the baptized, and you are a unique group. Not the pattern of Abraham as an adult, but the pattern of Isaac, his son, as a child. You were baptized. But here's God's command. Here's the pattern. Be baptized. Repent. Believe the promise. That's signed and sealed in baptism. Baptism is a proclamation of the gospel that you are called to believe with faith. And so God would have everyone that is baptized believe the promise that's in baptism, and that we're circumcised in circumcision. And so we have these patterns within Romans chapter 4, which totally focus on the glorious truth that our salvation, our righteousness is not of us, but it is of God. And then we are called to grow in the grace and the knowledge, which is the sign and seal of sanctification in the Lord's Supper. That's more the sign and seal of sanctification, but that's a different sermon. But this is a glorious pattern. This is why in the book of Acts, the pattern is over and over again. Repent, believe, and be baptized. Why? Because the audience of that command is the world, or the Old Testament people of God who were then commanded to be baptized, because there was this huge transition between circumcised and baptized at that moment in history. In the book of Acts. But today, the circumcised of chapter 4 are the baptized. They're no longer the Jews, because it's the baptized today that have the sign and seal of the righteousness of faith. Not some custom that some Jewish person may be involved in, and certainly not medical practices of circumcision today. That's not the sign and seal of the righteousness of faith. Baptism is the sign and seal of the righteousness of faith. So in the context of evangelism, Acts, we say the pattern is repent, believe, and be baptized. In the context of evangelism in the Old Testament, repent, believe, and be circumcised. In the context of the New Testament church, the command is take hold of what you have in baptism. That's why in every chapter of the Bible from Romans to Revelation, where the message is to the church, you never see the command repent, believe, and be baptized. It's not there. Look for it. It's not there. There's never a command to the church of Ephesus or Rome or Corinth or any other New Testament church. You never see the command in the text, repent, believe, and be baptized. What you see is have faith in the promises signed and sealed in circumcision. Have faith in the promises signed and sealed in baptism. That's what the command you have. Because those are speaking to the baptized. Old Testament would have been the circumcised. And so the pattern is consistent. And so it is absolutely, totally appropriate
to baptize infants with the sign and seal of a righteousness of faith that calls them to look to the cross of Christ, to the forgiveness of Christ, to the righteousness of Christ, and to profess that publicly. So when our children make profession of faith, they are responding to the sign and seal of the righteousness of faith given to them even as infants. And it is a glorious, biblical, consistent pattern from Abraham, Isaac, to the believing father and mother and their child baptized today. People of God, may we rest, may we rejoice in the signs and seals of righteousness that God gave. Circumcision to the Old Testament people of God, baptism to the New Testament people of God, with the exact same pattern of administration to his glory and our understanding that it is all of God, salvation, and it is not of us. To the praise and the glory of our God, our Father, our Savior, and our Comforter. Amen. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for such a clear word about the meaning of circumcision in the Old Testament. We thank you that it was administered evangelistically in the context of repent, believe, and be baptized or be circumcised, and that Abraham followed that pattern, and that his children followed the pattern of repent, believe, be circumcised, profess your faith. Be circumcised, repent, and believe. And so, O Lord, we pray that here in this church, we may see both patterns at work, but we thank you for the sign and seal administered to infants. And we pray that each infant may know the blessing of that and may then take hold with a true faith to all the promises that are manifested through that sign and sealed sacrament of baptism. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.